take the raft to go after
it. Used up a lot of ammo on that. How are you fixed for 9mm, Ryan?
We've got enough. You all right, Lover?
I'll be fine, once I stop shaking. They all scouted among the jagged rocks above the strip of beach for more dry wood for the fire, bringing it back to flaming life. Though none of them actually came right out and said it, the idea of having a good blaze helped to dispel the demons of the night. JB went over to sit by Ryan, taking off the Uzi and starting to field strip it, wiping the moisture of the night away from the metal, cleaning the action with a piece of oily cotton, removing any fouling from the gun.
How about the raft, Ryan?
Seems solid enough. We got some pieces of wood about the right size and weight for paddles.
More worried about that crab. Dark night, but it was a true monster.
If something like that came at us out in the strait between this island and the mainland...
be somewhere between a triple small chance and no chance at all.
Agreed. Then again, that one won't be coming after anybody for a while.
If we don't try the raft, we have to jump again. How do you feel about that, and the boy?
I'd rather face that muty crab's mother and father. Nah, seriously, I think we have to try for the mainland. Despite the stink of farts.
Well, fog's lifting. Be dawn in an hour or so. When do we go?
Ryan stood and stretched, his shoulders tightening.
What I remember about the Western Islands, word was that they weren't heavily occupied. Rad hotspots as well as the boiling mud and stuff.
I checked the rad counter.
Yeah, me too. Been veering between the low yellow and a sort of mid-orange. Bad, but not too bad.
The armorer stared into the mist that still obscured the other side of the channel.
Best we try and get landed soon after first light.
In case anyone's on lookout?
Sure. Be dead meat floundering around on that raft if anyone's got hostile intentions towards us. And if they got a good long gun.
Can't argue with that. Best tell everyone to get themselves ready. We'll push off in 15 minutes.
The ocean was as flat and as still as a sheltered mill pond, with only the slightest suggestion of a swell. They launched the raft as near to the end of the beach as they could, to minimize the struggle through the thick clogging weed, finding themselves in clear water within a few yards. The wooden craft settled lower than they'd expected, with only a couple of inches freeboard, and some of the makeshift timber shifted as everyone clambered carefully on board.
Well, it floats.
Row, row, row the boat gently down the stream.
Doc dug the crude paddle into the limpid waters of the strait, watching the tiny whirlpool as it drifted away behind every stroke.
Keep your voice down. You know how sound carries across water. This part of the day, just before the dawn, is a quiet time.
My sincerest apologies, my dear fellow. It just brought back the merry days of punting down the Cherwell when I was at Oxford. I had a small rented room in the suburb called Jericho, just south of Summertown. Ah, me, such happy days were those. The dreaming spires of honey-colored Cotswold stone and the warm, green-muffled Cumnor Hills.
Don't you ever shut your fucking mouth.
Doc, mildly offended, looked at Trader. Trader had been in a foul mood since driving a splinter of wood deep into his palm in the first few minutes of their journey.
Only when I have nothing to say. And when I do open my mouth, I endeavor to avoid foul and obscene language whilst in the presence of ladies.
Well said, Doc.
Trader sucked at the jagged wound, spitting crimson over the side of the raft into the sea.
It might attract sharks, blood like that.
I think it might take more than that to bring in the Great Whites.
You'll never know.
Abe was kneeling on a triangular slab of timber, leaning out to paddle, and he kept glancing around through the vanishing veil of mist. There was a swirling ripple in the dark water, about 50 yards from the raft on the starboard side. Dean saw it and called out to his father.
Dad, look!
See you.
You sure, Jack?
A moment later, a sleek, whiskered head popped out of the sea in a welter of silver bubbles.
Wow!
Told you.
The sulfurous smell was becoming stronger as they made their way over the placid water. But by now, JB had to admit that he hardly seemed to notice it anymore. Dawn was rushing across the land, bringing a lightening of the sky from the east. It was becoming possible, now that they were better than halfway over from the island, to make out some of the features of the mainland. JB held his dripping paddle clear of the water, looking at the ocean 100 yards or so astern. The first sliver of sun was peering over the distant mountains, glancing off his glasses.
Something behind us.
Everyone, stop paddling for a minute. All quiet.
I don't know what, but I'm sure I saw the surface kind of change, like something big had moved by deep down.
Ryan stood, steadying himself with a hand on the shoulders of Christy and Doc Tanner, trying to see beneath the glittering water. At first, there was nothing.
Hope it's not another of those muty crabs!
There was a flicker under the sea, about 20 yards off, slightly behind and off to the port side. Ryan shaded his eye and stooped a little to see more clearly. Then he saw it.
Hang on. No sudden movements. It's several big whales.
Everyone promptly turned to see for themselves, tipping the raft sharply to the left, coming close to toppling it.
By the three Kennedys!
Now the whales were very close, one on either side, and two more off a little distance to starboard. Mildred stared at them, a fascinated smile on her face.
They won't hurt us.
How do you know?
Trader pulled out the Armalite and held it across his lap.
Use that and you could easily get us all killed. All our guns together wouldn't do more than irritate one of these fellows.
One of the whales surfaced. Its side was scarred and marked, slick and shining. Dean put out a wondering hand and stroked it. The tiny eyes seemed to revolve in its socket and looked solemnly at the boy.
What kind is it? A right whale?
No. I saw them from a small boat, more fragile than this, down in Baja, the summer before Skydark. Gray whales. Ascridius robustus. They grow up to 50 or 60 feet. They were endangered once from harpooning. They became protected and were flourishing when the world ended. There are probably more of them now than ever.
Will they eat us, Mildred?
No, honey. They're mainly bottom feeders, scooping up thousands of the tiny crabs and the like. What the scientists call gammarid amphipods. Sailors call them devilfish because they would fight hard to protect their young.
Understandable.
One of the whales rubbed its back along the rough timbers of the raft, making it rock from side to side.
Oh, shit.
They are the true wonders of the Lord in the deep.
Ryan pointed to the left, toward the mainland.
There's a young camp over there, Dean. See how its mother keeps between it and us?
The whales moved on southward with a wonderful, ponderous grace. As they came closer together, a couple of 100 yards in front of the raft, they all dove in perfect unison. The last of them showed its flukes as it rolled, its enormous tail hanging in the dawn light for a few magical moments, before it finally disappeared.
Wow! Now that was something!
Wasn't it, though?
Look at the smoke, or the steam from those hot springs and geysers. Seems like the whole of the land's boiling or on fire.
They dangerous?
Only if you get too close.
Ryan was steering them carefully toward what looked like a natural inlet. Jack and Dean had stopped paddling, both standing near the front of the raft, keeping watch for any signs of danger from the shore.
There's a small hut right by the water. Could be a boathouse.
Any smoke from a fire?
Can't be sure. So much steam and shit. Don't think so.
They were about 100 yards away, moving through shallow water with rocks protruding above the water, and many more lying in wait below the surface. Dean was kneeling. The clumsy craft was moving so slowly, it was hardly likely to be damaged by any collision.
Bit to the right! Now left!
I just saw a gigantic conger eel, long and thick as a telegraph pole. I don't think that I would relish swimming in these waters.
It was full dawn, enabling them all to see the extent of the blighted land ahead of them. There was a beach and some rocks, with the building that Jack had mentioned. It seemed like there was a track leading away from it, vanishing inland. Then there came a belt of mist, smoke, and steam, with the tops of distant mountains, snow-capped, visible far behind it.
Red count's getting higher, into the orange.
If they landed and found that the region of orange radiation extended very far, they would have no choice but to return to their raft and either try a little farther up or down the coast, or cut their losses and return to the hidden redoubt to make yet another jump.
I can see the bottom.
Rocks, shingle, or sand?
Sort of shingle and sand, Dad. I can see a crab as well!
What?
Everyone dropped their paddles and snatched for their weapons.
Only about half as big as my hand. Sorry if I